You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
Who wants to have some fun?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Jim Rutherford, the GM of the Pens, will join us in about a half an hour. Ray's coming up as well. Both men in attendance last night down at Scotiabank. Penguins getting past the Leafs 3-0. May have been rock bottom for Nazem Kadri. He still has not scored on the opposition's net. He has scored on his own net. It had to sting.
It's not fun.
No kidding.
Especially when you're looking for your first and you're like, oh, God.
The worst part is you see it, and it was moving at a snail's pace by the end. You know, you just couldn't catch it.
And you're like, watching it.
You know it's going in, too.
Yeah, it was right in the middle.
It was a great shot.
But it was like a rolling puck, chipping, you know.
When everything's going against you, everything's going against you. And that's where Nazem Kadri is at right now.
I mean, Matt Murray made a great left pad save on him in the third, I believe. It was a little touch pass to Kadri on the back door, and I don't think Nazem got all of it, but he got a pretty good chunk of it, and Murray made a good save. So it's just one of those things. I believe it's coming for him, but it's ugly early on for him statistically, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're 8 games into it.
But
right?
Considering open night, he had 2 apples, right? Remember the power play was looking good. Everyone was dancing around and all that. And now he's just become a scarecrow on that power play. That's what he is.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing is ever going through him.
It's what he is a threat, but they... What will happen once they exhaust all the other threats, they'll find him. But they haven't been able to do that yet.
Prime example was in Dallas where himself, Tavares, and Matthews were all in front of the net like this. And
Marner just chose, I think it was Tavares.
Yeah,
Tavares.
He's clearly number 3. Who wouldn't pass it to Tavares and Matthews before Kadri? Yeah.
Well, he's got to find a way to get it going. There's no other way. He makes good money. You can like his contract, you can think whatever about it, but important piece, so
yeah,
figure it out.
Well, and they got all year to figure that out, right? Exactly. Like, I'm not overly concerned. I think by the end of it, Kadri will play an important role. Yes. I mean, Lars Eller did that last year for the Capitals, right?
And it stinks because he's going to have to get it out of his mind. Like, he's not going to get 30 this year unless something happens drastically, if there's an injury in the top, you know, to Matthews or Tavares. But ultimately, he's going to play a very important role. It's just statistically, it's going to sting a little bit. And I think this is the guy who has had the roughest ride by no fault, just by the signing of John Tavares, which is, he's going to be a team guy. You're getting paid lots of money, but you know, he was a real pivotal key player for the last couple of years for the Leafs, and now his role isn't diminished, it's changed. Let's say that.
It could be, I wouldn't say worse, but very different. Go talk to Tyler Bozak, who just had to leave. Yeah. Like, Tavares signed, and it was like, thanks, Bozak. We appreciate everything you've done for us, but obviously you are not staying here. And he got a good contract in St. Louis. And,
yeah, good for him.
And I heard him yesterday, I think, talking about the media coverage in St. Louis and how when he gets asked to go out and do media, there's like 2 reporters waiting for him. And now that he's been in Toronto, there's been a lot more over the past couple of days. And tomorrow night and tomorrow after the game day skate, he's going to get a lot of attention. And I guess it's already leaked out. I don't know if the Leafs made an official announcement, but Kyle Dubas is not going to follow in the footsteps of Lou Lamoriello when it comes to a lack of acknowledgement for former players.
Yeah.
And Bozak was a college free agent, one of the great college free agents in history, because most of them don't really work out. You know, there's kind of a reason they didn't get drafted or fell through the cracks, so to speak, and they get hyped up, but it just doesn't really work out. Bozak worked out. You know, and he was a good Leaf, and he was here for a long time, and I think he deserves some sort of recognition tomorrow night. Nothing crazy. He didn't win a cup or a heart here or anything like that, but he was a good soldier. And
for sure.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Hook him up with some adulation tomorrow night.
A little video tribute.
Yeah, for sure. And the Blues are one of those sneaky teams where I, like, just...
You can't sleep on them.
You can't sleep on them, but the epitome of of right in the middle of the pack for me. Might make the playoffs, might miss. They're not going to finish bottom five. They won't finish top five. They're just the definition for me of a team right in the middle.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me if they make the playoffs by a point or miss by a point.
Yeah, they're a tweener.
They're going to be right
me.
There.
They're a tweener for
yeah, they're
me.
A tweener.
I call them a tweener. Like, I didn't mind the moves in the offseason, like Bozak's a nice three.
Ryan O'Reilly.
Because I don't think they believe they gave up a lot for Ryan O'Reilly. They just have to absorb his contract. But they're like, Jake Allen is the guy for me. And Allen has still been wildly inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't scream, instill confidence in me. He doesn't scream.
He's not
elite.
A bona fide number one.
Yeah, he doesn't scream elite goaltender to me.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Man, did we amp up that game and pump the tires of that game, and it just didn't really play out the way we were hoping it would last night.
No, I thought Pittsburgh checked them into the ice, actually. Yeah. For the first time, they looked a little, I don't know, confused or bamboozled, if you like. They couldn't figure out a way to work their way through. And, I mean, as I was standing there, I thought they got outworked mostly, in the game. But, you know, it wasn't that, oh, Crosby was amazing or, you know, I mean, Malkin was good, but it wasn't like he was, you know, he had the puck on his stick the whole game. It's just Toronto really never sustained anything. Their big, Tavares was their best guy for sure. But Marner was quiet, Matthews was quiet, Riley was quiet. Still haven't seen much from Marleau. I think they got outworked last night.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me, and I think Sid was a perfect example of that. Like, he, you know, the stats weren't screaming at you. He still right. hasn't scored a goal, but I just watching him, I'm like, well, he's got the puck in their end again. Yep, there he is.
Yeah, he was
just pushing and pushing
he was on
and pushing.
It. He was on it last night.
Felt tenacious
yeah,
to me. Yeah,
it did.
Which is what you expect out of him, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's you coined this years ago. He's a graceful grinder. He's the most graceful grinder I think we've ever seen. Where he's just got a motor,
yeah.
And you can't hit him off the puck, and you can try to, but it doesn't matter. And that's what it looked like to me. And when he was on the ice against Matthews, he chewed him up all night.
Yeah, and they, I think Ron Hainsey said something in the pregame interview that it didn't really come to fruition, but in a way he was right. They asked him about stopping Crosby, and he said the worst part is he doesn't have any goals, and that usually doesn't last very long. Well, the way it played out, in a sense, was that Pittsburgh hasn't played very well, and they needed to lock in. They needed to have a game where, you know, they played like a top end team, because they hadn't done. I mean, hell, they just lost to Vancouver, and you know, and it was just like a dog of a game. And so I thought they came and they were, you know, they were pretty sharp. Their defense, which is shaky to begin with, I thought did a pretty decent job. And I've never been a real Matt Murray guy. I think he's pretty good, but I've never thought he's a upper echelon guy for me, anyway. But I thought he was awesome last night. Like, he was locked in.
Yeah, I was saying before you came on, Ray, that's the best I've seen him play in a long time. I didn't love his year last year. He's a slight guy who does get nicked up, and you can't fault concussions. It happens, but you know, I think he gets worn down if you ask him to play a lot. But I thought he was on the puck last night, like just dialed in. He got a couple lucky bounces, but you have to be having a game to get some luck, but he made a couple big left pad saves, one on Kadri on the back door, like in tight. Tavares tried to go blocker side when he was in kind of off that right wing. Like, there was, you could tell he was feeling it last night, and you know, he was able to lock it down when they did get some chances.
Any better, because they Casey dismissed the backup last night, and I mean, he's been bounced around a little bit. He's 27 years old. He hasn't played a whole lot. But they don't have, we talked about it last year, they don't have the luxury of having Marc-Andre Fleury hanging around. So it's either Matt right. Murray or, man, they're screwed. You know, like, they're not going to be a contending team without Matt Murray. And you know, last night he was good. And, you know, like, Jimmy Rutherford was talking before the game about how he thinks, like, Murray is way overthinking the position. Like, he just needs to just stop the puck. Don't try to make two saves at once was kind of like what he was implying. You know, like, don't make it harder than it is. Just stop the puck. And maybe being the lone guy was too hard for him last year. You know, it got too much. His dad passed away in the middle of the year as well, which, you know, it was rather sudden, from what I understand. And, God, that's a terrible thing. And, you know, it's really hard to get your head back to what you're doing when that happens. So maybe it was a lot of things, but they sure need him to be terrific this year.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Edmonton with a win last night at home against Boston, and now they're 3-2. So they start 0-2 over in Europe, and then at home against Boston, and they got spanked, and it was ugly. And now they found a way to grind out three wins. And McDavid, two more assists last night. That play he made in overtime was
Who did he freeze in place at the blue line?
That was gross.
It was silly.
He went outside, like that one little right foot, left foot thing. He went by whoever was standing at the blue line, like the guy was just learning to skate.
The guy handed him a ticket. That's what it was.
Well, you might as well at that point. You might as well just skate off. Be like, forget it.
Just go north when he's heading south. Like,
you
just
got me.
Skate right off.
Like, he is every single game, he's embarrassing like a legitimate NHL player. Like, he's done it to Trouba already this year. He did it to Chara.
And Bergeron, that one play. That was Chara and Bergeron.
He gets in alone three times a game.
Yeah, and the thing is, again, I'm looking at his stats. He played 24 minutes and 58 seconds. And the play he made was in overtime. So that was after he'd been on the ice for like 24 minutes and 55 seconds or whatever.
You know what he's got to... You know, it's funny you bring that up, Brian. He's got a pretty... Well, he's obviously a smart guy on the ice, but he's got a pretty cool way of, like, he doesn't, it's not like he's going, you know, right to the wall all the time. It's like he conserves when he has to go or when he doesn't have to go. He's smart about when he really needs to go. And, you know, the 24 and a half minutes, I think if somebody else tried to play it, you know, they work like hell to do half the work that he does. You know, like he's got a really cool way of kind of like just flinking around the ice, and then he sees a little bit of something, and my God, he's just explodes through it. It was, you know, I saw that on my phone for the first time, the overtime goal, and I had to go back and look at it again because I was like, who? I think it was Marchand tried the long pass.
Yeah, it was Marchand. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's who it was at the blue line.
It was Marchand.
Holy smokes. It was like he fell into a hole. Like,
yeah, he broke his ankles.
And the thing is if that was... Marchand would have to be smart because he could... You get deked like that, your natural instinct would probably stick your leg out. And you clip his knee or something. Like, that's... You know, that's the first thing I thought about. It happened so quickly, but... Somebody's going to do that instinctually when the guy's flying that fast.
You hate to admit it, but it's true. It's you're on a raft, and there's been a hole poked, and you're going under.
Yeah,
like when he's skating by you, at some point someone's going to do something where it's like, all right.
Well, Trouba gave him a whack on the hands. I don't know if you saw that. Like, I thought it should have been that goal that he scored on the power play that Draisaitl set him up against Winnipeg. Trouba gave him a little whack. Like, I thought that would have been a penalty anyways, even though he scored. But you give somebody, like, the game has changed. It used to be a freebie on the hands and a freebie on the stick. It's not anymore.
Good. So that helps him more. Oh,
exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're trying, it's almost, that sounds just the way you described it, almost like with defensive backs in football. It's like they've given them less and less tools to try and stop or interfere with the receiver because they want more offense. And some people don't like it, but most do. And I'd rather see Connor McDavid make a play like that last night than get slashed on the hands and lose a puck in the corner.
Yeah, every day of the week.
They're on the right. They got it right. And people want to watch that, and I want to watch that. And so we got to see it again last night. And it, you're right, all of a sudden the oil have somehow dug themselves out of what could have been a pretty ugly pit.
Well, I'll go back to it. Sorry to interrupt, Brian, but that Talbot made some big saves. Like, early on, they were being outshot. Like, the goalie has to be just good. He wasn't good.
And that's what I wanted to get to here. Like, it's drastically different sports. But when you consider the amount of minutes McDavid's playing, he's creeping towards basketball minutes. Like, he's on the ice half the game.
Yeah.
And it's not 80% of the game or 90, 95. But can McDavid pull a LeBron where he is so good, where if he just gets average goaltending, he can drag them to the playoffs? Like, can he, is he, is that possible in hockey? Where Cam Talbot is the 15th ranked goaltender in the league. So just right in the middle. Yeah. Gives you whatever the stat is, save percentage, goals against, blah, blah, blah. Whatever that means.
Kind of looking like he can right now.
Can McDavid personally do it?
I think he can, because Talbot didn't give you 15th last year. He gave you 30th out of 31. And if you, I don't know how closely you watched the game last night. With a minute left, Boston almost won that game in regulation. And if you go back, Lucic got walked by the blue line. I don't know who it was. Left-handed shot, throws the puck down to the net. If this was last year, there was a garage sale in front, and the guy batted it wide of the net. If this was last year, it would have gone in easily, because I thought Talbot fought for that puck. And you know, sometimes you get that extra bounce where last year they didn't get any bounce.
All right, so let's say they get the average this year.
Yeah.
See, I don't think they can, because I don't think their defense is good enough. I think somewhere along the line that D is going to have too much trouble. The puck's not going to get to McDavid enough. They're going to spend too much time back in their end. And I think Talbot's got to be better than better than average. Like that, to make, like, their third pair is a train wreck right now.
They barely play. Yeah.
And that just can't be. We know what the season does to guys. Like, it wears you down, and you've got to be, and you're going to get somebody banged up. Like, I know they already have Sekera out of the lineup, but somebody's going to get banged up. And if you have barely enough depth now, and it doesn't look like Todd McLellan's got a great deal of faith in a whole bunch of guys, because he plays very few of them. I guess it's possible, but my gut is that they're not there, because their blue line's not going to be good enough to push them over the top.
What about the Habs? They've got Ottawa tomorrow night, and they're off to a good start. I mean, the Antti Niemi's picking up wins, and
well, I never saw that. Mm-hmm. I never saw Montreal playing like this. I just didn't believe it. Like, Bergevin was talking about, you know, they had to change their attitude, and you know, and he said that was the big difference, you know, between last year and what had to happen this year. And I thought that was kind of a little hokey, you know, that geez, it can't just be that. But you know, maybe when you really think of it, the last couple of years, there's always so much drama in Montreal. A lot of it was around Galchenyuk. Is he a center? Is he a winger? You know, his production was up, then it was down, and he was, you know, some games he looks engaged, other games he doesn't look engaged. And so, you know, he's gone, and they get a guy that's happy to be there, looking for some redemption in Domi. And then, you know, they move Pacioretty, and it was starting to get about his contract last year. It was going to be all about his contract this year. And so those guys are gone. It's like it's fresh air. And it's not necessarily to say that was the problem, but guys, we've been on teams where it just, man, it's just like the air is heavy. Nothing is good. Nothing feels right. And that's kind of where Montreal was. I mean, I know it's early, but hell, they look faster and they look more aggressive, which has never been a hallmark of Claude Julien teams. Like, they always grind you to death. But it's like they've even got to the program, and they've looked entertaining, which I never say that about the Canadians lately, that's for sure.
Are you happy your Red Sox are, like, we were just going over the Boston parades. It's just ridiculous.
Oh. How about my boy, David Price?
Is he
your boy, huh? So, you have probably thrown things at the TV.
That's where
so
I was
many
go.
Times.
How much hatred have you had for David Price over the last couple years? But all of that went away last night.
You know what? I will say, you know, I could not quite figure out how the hell you can be as good as you are in the regular season and as crappy as he's been in the postseason. But I'll tell you what was the difference last night. Did you see he got rid of those hospital white shoes he was wearing?
Those high tops?
Oh, those things look terrible. They look like they should have had knee braces on them. They were awful.
Forrest Gump.
Run, David, run. Like, he had actual cleats on. He looked like he looked better last night. And they were like, I was telling a couple of people, I know this game will go well if the Leafs game is over and David Price is still pitching. And I was checking, and Franklin, our director, he was throwing arrows at me. He kept saying, oh, this is the inning. He's gonna, in my ear, he's telling me this thing's going sideways. But, nah, it was sweet.
No, he was on pace last night, man. He was in form. Like, he looked really good. And Kimbrel looked good, too.
What do you expect for $217 million?
Well, that's the thing, right? It's amazing how the standards drop. Like, he pitched the way you would expect David Price to pitch. Like, the same thing with Kershaw.
Like, what he's paid to do?
Same thing with Kershaw the day before. Kershaw pitches really well. It's like, yeah, dude, you're the best pitcher of your generation. Like, what?
It's your job.
We're supposed to be happy for you because you actually did what you're supposed to do.
You know? I'll tell you, though, like, I'm just astounded, like, can pressure really be that much? You know, like, it clearly has affected Price because he's not the same pitcher 2 weeks earlier than he is in October.
Well, I think you could say that about Kershaw, too.
Kershaw's the same thing.
They're so good, and then they're just not. And so when he was out there last night, I'm like, oh, for the love of God, I hope they can get five innings out of him, because if they got to go back to that bullpen again, that's not going to be pretty, and they didn't need it because he was so good. So
and now they're saying Chris Sale's ready to go. He'll be ready for the World Series. He'll pitch Game One, I would assume. And you know, Dodgers, Red Sox. It's never happened in the World Series. That would be great.
I didn't know that. That's bizarre. That with all their long history, that they haven't matched up anywhere.
It's just it's pockets of incompetence for both organizations, right? Like, the Leafs haven't played the Habs in the playoffs since the 70s. Like, think about that. And it's all because of the Leafs. Like, it's not because the Habs. The Habs were pulling their weight. They make the playoffs all the time. But I think it's 1978 the last time those two teams played in the playoffs.
They almost met in a final.
That was a four-game sweep, I think, for Montreal. I think the Habs won. I remember Cam Connor scored some really cool goal of somebody that never scored any goals, and he scored a really big goal somewhere in that series. I think I got the right one, but crap, they never play.
Right. It's so weird. It's so weird. Like, at least, you know, with the Dodgers and Sox, they have to meet in the World Series. Right. The Leafs could meet the Habs in the first round, the second round, the third round. Like, just find a way to meet somewhere, exactly. And they haven't done it since, like, Lanny McDonald was on the team.
I never know how they could shape up this year.
There have been times where it's come close, you know, where they were real close, like down the stretch where it started to line up, and it just never happened.
But I mean, Toronto's near the top, and I still believe that Montreal will fight for a playoff spot and be right there. So it could be 1-8.
That would be outstanding.
Well, I would imagine you guys would push for, hey, we should go to Montreal for the game.
Oh, yeah.
You can bank on that. We'll be driving down the 401. We'll find our own way there. Don't worry, TSN.
We got it covered.
Yeah, we'll cover expenses and everything. Just let us go to Montreal, please.
That could be a phone-in from O.
I could definitely see that. You need to be on assignment in Montreal.
Of course.
Yeah.
Suspension assignment.
That's right.
Get You're suspended. Really pushing for this, eh? I like it, O. Keep on it. This is going to work out well. I know it.
No, you can't get suspended around here. I tried.
Well, didn't you have, like, people actually thought you got suspended?
Oh, I know. People were just getting out of hand. I had to delete a tweet.
People were messaging me saying, did O get suspended at TSN? I'm like, what?
Because of Twitter, you were tweeting out, like, sarcastic stuff?
I think he tweeted out.
Yeah, I'm like, I was 10 minutes late. I got suspended. Or I asked to be suspended.
For 2 days.
So people are, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take the suspension at the end of the month, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Picking like, your own suspension.
As like if.
The Pablo Escobar move. I'll build my own jail, and I'll go when I say I'm going to go, and whenever I want to leave, I'm going to leave. Yeah. Anyway, we got to fly, Ray. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yep, talk to you then, boys. Enjoy.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Happy man today is Boston Red Sox. Off to the World Series.
Are they favorites?
Depending on who they play, I would think they deserve to be. I mean, full credit to them.
108 wins, you got to kind of...
Yeah, I thought Houston would win the series, and Boston won in 5. Like, full credit to them. Like, they're
legit
stacked, and they're very good. And I don't think Milwaukee clearly would be dogs. I would think the Dodgers would be underdogs, but it would be closer. It would be much closer. And that we'll see what happens tonight. You know, game six of the NLCS tonight in Milwaukee. Jim Rutherford will join us, GM of the Pens, and get his take on the game last night, his take on a number of things, including how Phil Kessel is doing these days. We'll get into some Phil chatter with Jim Rutherford. Bob McKenzie later in the afternoon. Rap Celts tonight, we're teeing it up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. We have been giving away clues all week in terms of who the Maple Leaf is that we're trying to reveal today. We have a pair of tickets, Leafs-Jets, Saturday, October 27th on the line. And again, every day this week, we have been providing you with a clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Today is the final clue, and the clue is this. This Maple Leaf has also played for the Rangers, Thrashers, and Jets. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050, or toll-free 1-855-591-6876. 416-870-1050. Name that Leaf, and you're going to see Leafs-Jets next Saturday night.
Be a good game.
The Leafs have the Jets twice next week. They're at Winnipeg on Wednesday, and they're at home to Winnipeg on Saturday.
Well, the two best teams in Canada going at it face-to-face. It'll be good.
Yeah, those are always fun games. I'm bummed out. Like, I'm not going to be here next week. And people are now writing me saying, because I'm finally going away, William Nylander will...
Yeah, I was
going
to say, Nylander will sign.
He'll sign his deal, or they'll trade him.
Or get traded, yeah,
something
that's
massive,
true.
Something big will happen next week.
Well, Scotty Mack will break it.
Yeah, Scotty will be on here, and it'll be all
Scotty
over
Mack show.
Sports Center, and
yeah,
that's hockey.
Exactly.
And remember the PK Subban deal? And then PK...
Scotty's voice everywhere.
And he put out that documentary, and it's Scotty Mack's voice. Like, that would have been me.
Just chaff. You get enough play on That's Hockey.
On... I got to talk to people over at That's Hockey. Anything negative I
that's
say,
that's brutal.
It's always
brutal.
That way. It's like, does McDavid need to get it going tonight? He's brutal. It's my voice. It's like, what are you doing to me?
There's a soundtrack over there.
All right, here is joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins, your former GM down in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Did he draft you in Hartford?
Yes.
Wow.
First draft pick, I believe.
Here's Jim Rutherford. How you doing, Jim?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Okay. Is that true that the first draft pick you ever made as the GM of the Hartford Whalers was Jeff O'Neill?
Yeah, as an NHL GM, he was my first pick.
Any buyer's remorse now that you look back on it, or what?
Not a bit.
No.
Not a bit.
There you go.
No, he was a terrific player for us.
What was that scouting report like? Do you remember that? That's going back to, what, 94 or 95?
I think it was 94 in Hartford.
I remember that he came into the OHL really young and how well he did there. I remember that. I mean, we're going back a long ways here now. There's been a lot of players pass through me since that time. But, yeah, I'm not sure if I got this right, but I think it was fourth or fifth overall. And he was coming out of junior as a great junior.
There you go. Fifth overall
sounds
back in 94,
yeah.
I believe it was.
Exactly.
How do you notice a difference nowadays,
yeah,
Jimmy, with different guys coming up? Is, you know, your advice to them stepping into that? It seems like back when I got drafted, it was like if you didn't make it your first couple of years, you were almost declared somewhat of a bust. How has that changed with dealing with young players?
I don't know anymore because I never keep my first round pick, so I don't get to deal with them. It's, you know, it's win right now. It's not build for the future, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess in some ways it's different with young players than it was then. I mean, the guys that come now, they have so many resources to be more prepared to come in and play, and seems like more and more guys are ready, you know, physically and mentally, and all the people that are around them to tell them what to do to help them out. So the times have certainly changed as to the resources that these young people get compared to those days.
Well, a couple of those picks were used on the Kessel trade a few years ago, and it certainly worked out well for you guys, back-to-back cups, and Phil played a big role in that. You know, conversely, here in Toronto, because of his contract and where the team was going, they kind of had to get out from under Phil, and it's all worked out for the Leafs. But as you look back on those two cups, do you think you would have got both of them without Phil Kessel?
I don't. No. I mean, a lot of guys played
big roles in those cups, but Phil's an impact player. There's times where, you know, he could win games by himself, you know, by his big plays or his goals, and you know, even last year we didn't win the cup, he got 90 some points. You know, he's been very good for us since he came to Pittsburgh, and as you said, that was a deal that worked out for both sides, because if I'm right, I believe with our draft pick, the Leafs got Anderson, and of course they've got Kapanen. So they it's helped them, and it certainly helped us to win the cups.
Yeah, it's worked out for both organizations. And when you take a look at Phil, I mean, we know exactly what he's like on the ice and what he's able to produce. And seems like a unique personality. And the city of Pittsburgh, the guys in the dress room seem to have embraced and almost had some fun with what he's like. Is he become a popular player, or is he very popular within the room and in the community?
Yeah, he's popular on our team. He's popular in Pittsburgh. The fans love him. He's a terrific guy. You know, as you say, he's a little bit unique in a sense. And maybe people that don't know him, maybe a little bit misunderstood. But yeah, we're very happy that we have him in Pittsburgh. And he's, you know, he's off to a good start again this year.
With Jim Rutherford, GM of the Pens, you guys with a big win last night, 3-0 over the Leafs. And the Leafs, everyone knows that they've been racking up a ton of goals, and we've been talking about it all afternoon. I thought your team did a brilliant job of just checking them right out of the rink. They just smothered them all night. How has it been in terms of your team kind of growing? They've got that type of firepower, but watching them perform the way they did last night, is that more gratifying in a way, seeing them shut out a powerhouse offensive team like the Leafs?
Well, our team, we have certain games and we can play a different style of game and win. But quite frankly, we're off to a similar start than what we've done the last 5 years. We usually start slow the first 4 to 6 weeks and then we get going. And we haven't played a complete game up until last night's game. But that's the best game the Penguins have played all year. We were focused from the drop of the puck, and we knew what the task was. We knew how good the Leafs are and that they can score, and we played the type of game we had to play to win.
Jimmy, you guys are in Edmonton on Tuesday. How does that schedule work out? Stay here, back to Pittsburgh? How's that work out?
No, we're staying here. We're in Toronto. We'll go to Banff for the next couple of days, Saturday and Sunday, and practice, get used to the time change, and then into Edmonton, get ready for Tuesday's game.
Mm. That is my kind of schedule.
Some team bonding. I like that.
Sorry, Ol. We didn't have the resources in Hartford to take those trips.
Yeah,
sorry.
I know. I'm really sad to hear that, but good luck with it.
That is a green light special. A big win, yeah, in Toronto, and then you stick around in the city. I would think potentially they had some fun last night. Who knows? Well, enjoy that trip and the rest of the season, and congrats on the win last night. We always appreciate you doing this for us.
Okay, guys. Good to be with you.
There's Jim Rutherford, the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins. What kind of bar tab do you think the Penguins had last night?
What about tonight?
Or tonight. Whatever you want.
Yeah, tonight is the ultimate green light. It's like we don't play till Tuesday.
Last night, dude, it's a Thursday in Toronto. They win. They would have been... They're staying in Toronto for two nights.
Yeah,
last night in Toronto, the Pens must have put on a clinic somewhere. Like, there's just no way.
But it's hard to... I mean, in today's world, like, somebody's snapping photos, somebody's doing something,
no,
right?
Toronto, we've heard about it from certain athletes where there is a
you
system.
You can hide, yeah.
No phones allowed. There's a team in town.
Yeah, there's a little bin at the check-in saying, phone there, don't even think about it.
Yeah. That's smart.
I guarantee it. Not the whole team, necessarily, but there would have been a couple of stragglers.
A select few
that decided to just test the waters of Toronto on a Thursday night.
Well, look at our intro songs. Top 10 you know what songs. I wonder if that established
top 10 Peel songs.
I don't know about that
move. You don't think that anybody...
I don't think Sid is getting caught in a spot
Sidney
like that.
Not Sidney Crosby, but we just talked about a select few.
Right.
Maybe farther down in the line.
Someone plugging along in the fourth line who had a good game last night, feels good about their effort.
The backup goaltender?
Potentially, yes.
Probably be in there, chipping away. Never know.
Going through Banff, too. That's a good spot.
It is, but it isn't.
Just wheel into Banff.
Well, it's a good little town. Like, it is, but...
But it's not that big, right?
No, it's just one street. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most beautiful places, honestly, on Earth. And it's crazy that it's in Canada. Nobody goes to it from out east.
Right.
But Banff is beautiful. There's a couple good bars there.
Okay.
That I've...
Sounds like a flying special.
Yeah, it would be fun.
A catch and release type of night for the boys.
Yeah, it is good.
A flying special.
I know what you mean. All right, yes, Bob McKenzie coming up at 6:20. Raps in action tonight down at Scotiabank. The Celtics in town. We'll recap our conversation with Brian Scalabrine and look ahead to Week 7 in the NFL as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. LeBron making his debut last night, and he was mic'd up for the game, and there's some cool quotes out of it. I didn't stick around for the second half. I waited until the ball game was over. When that was over, I was done. I think the Lakers were into the second half at that point.
But you did exactly what you wanted to do. You wanted to see LeBron play for the Lakers. You didn't care if they won or not.
No, I don't know what to make of them this year. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. I don't think they're good enough. They've got some good young pieces, and then they've got LeBron.
Right.
But I think it's going to take some time, and the West is loaded. There's some really good teams out there.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. The NBA must love that he's out there because the Lakers are such an important brand, and they have been just a doormat for about 3 years since Kobe retired, and even by the end of Kobe, it was depressing.
It was such a love fest after the game. I found it so weird where every guy from Portland had to do like the handshake with Bron. It's like,
yeah, he's gonna get that all year,
every game. It's like, hey, welcome to the West, man. Good to see you. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's a gentleman's game.
Yeah, it is. And I'll say that the Laker uniform is beautiful. Like he looks amazing in the Lakers.
Didn't
uniform.
It look a little weird on him though?
No,
it's different. But there's something about that uni. Like it is for me.
Just
it's the go-to
23. How it pops and the.
So will he be the greatest player who ever put that uniform on?
No, I mean I quite frankly I don't think he's got a shot at catching the greats. Like he's never going to catch Magic and.
No, I'm not saying
Kobe and
not for points and stuff. Just
who he is?
Yeah.
Yes, in my opinion. I think it's either him or Jordan as the two best players of all time.
The greatest player who ever played.
Yes, and as good as Kobe was in Magic and Kareem and Wilt. I mean, they all played for the Lakers, but LeBron is better than all of them, in my opinion. But in terms of him being a great Laker, it's a different conversation.
Yeah, but
he's not going to catch Kobe. Kobe won 6 rings and Magic in the 80s and the Showtime Lakers.
But I mean, you know, Wayne Gretzky played for the St. Louis Blues.
Exactly.
But
technically he's the greatest player to ever play for that team. But he's not the greatest Blue ever. No one would suggest that.
No, but it's just to ever put that jersey on, LeBron will be...
Yes, I think so.
The best player who ever put that jersey on.
It's weird how that works when you see great players that just have a cup of coffee somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to be in L.A. the rest of his career, and he signed a 4-year deal. So he's going to have highlights, and he'll play playoff games, and he will be established. And by the end of it, he'll have the Laker era of his career, whatever it is, 4, 6, 8 years. Yeah, Gretzky in St. Louis is a great...
Marty Brodeur as well.
Yeah, Brodeur was there for a little bit.
But it's weird to see legends that you know from one team, all of a sudden they're on a different team, and it kind of looks a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a really short stint.
Right.
Like a really strange... Like Gretzky, I guess, was in St. Louis...
A couple years, I think.
Yeah, about a year and a half or something. Yeah. Wasn't he a deadline deal, and then he was there the next year or something that?
I was in the organization, like... Right after him, but obviously he has a home in St. Louis and deep roots there.
Actually. Really?
Yeah.
Why would he keep that?
I don't know. He may have sold it recently, but I know that they love St. Louis.
Hmm.
But they also live in L.A.
L.A., you know? I mean, Phoenix?
This guy has...
Edmonton?
Gaza Ranch.
Does he have a place in Edmonton? He must.
Must.
Well, I'm sure he's got a place to live there. I don't think it's... You know, he's not bunking with...
you know, Kevin Lowe.
Pocklington.
Hey, Pete, I'm rolling through.
I wonder where I think Pocklington lives in Palm Springs. That guy was run out of town.
Well, if you're the owner that trades, that sells Gretzky.
Sold Wayne Gretzky for like $15 million.
You cannot stick around. You've got to go. You've got to get out.
Yeah.
But Gretzky seems to really be committed to the Oilers at this point. He was on the trip out east. Was he in Europe? I guess he probably was.
Yeah, he's around. He's around.
He was at the game last night. Like, I just don't, even know what his role is. Like, what does Gretzky do in Edmonton?
Be Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. Like, be an ambassador. Be like around. I don't know.
But what does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Like, I don't think he's shaking hands and kissing babies and stuff. I don't think he's doing that. Like, what do the alumni do for the Leafs? Like, what does Wendell do?
Wendell shows up at charity events and stuff like that.
Doesn't Tux do that? Like, they're so
But they're not like on road trips. They're
but Gretzky's got like an official title.
No, I think
with the team.
Yeah, like special assistant to Bob Nicholson or something like that.
So, like does Chiarelli have to go to him? And like, is he Chiarelli's boss?
I think he's higher up. Like, I believe he would be kind of, you know, Bob Nicholson light, if that makes sense. Like, kind of in that senior management role. So Chiarelli would, and he would have to answer to Wayne. I would believe, but I don't think Wayne is like administrative role every day. Like, I think he's just a figurehead, and nowadays you're seeing it done by committee. Like, it's not just one guy running the whole situation. It's now there's assistant GMs and special advisors. That's what you can spend money. You've got a hard cap. You can spend as much money as you want shaping a team. Look at the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs have endless resources, and they've got a staff. I couldn't imagine how big their staff is if they lined everyone up in a room. Like, I don't know how big their analytics staff is.
Yeah, nobody knows.
I talked to a scout the other day. He said he was doing a Marlies game, and in the press box, there was like an army of guys with computers. Like, so they were tracking the stats of a Marlies game. He's an army.
Yeah. Well, so I guess if you have the resources, go for it.
Exactly.
People tweeting in, Gretzky only played 18 games for the Blues.
So he was only...
He was a deadline acquisition, I guess, and he just played out the rest of the year, then signed in New York.
That was the year before.
So he bought a house, and he's got roots based on an 18-game stint. Good for him. Good for St. Louis.
Allegedly. Maybe I shouldn't have... I mean, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Bill tweeting in saying, the best player in Toronto sports history who was only here for a cup of coffee, Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson back
how in 93. How much was Big E here for?
Well, that's another good one.
Ronnie Francis played like 10 games here.
Brian Leetch. Like, those guys were deadline acquisitions, and then they played out the rest of the year, and that was it.
I got traded to the Rangers the day, I think, like the day after Brian Leetch got traded to the Leafs, and Messier was not happy.
No, that was his boy.
Yeah.
We should put together a list of the greatest cup of coffee Toronto sports figures. Like, which players have been here for the rat? Like, I can always, you always think of Hakeem Olajuwon, who barely played, but technically it's signed, and that would be the greatest Raptor of all time.
The greatest Raptor of all time is Hakeem Olajuwon.
In terms of, like, his career. He's a top 25 player of all time.
Alonzo Mourning once a Rap?
No, he didn't. Remember, he was in that Vince deal, and he didn't come.
He never even showed up.
Yeah, he refused to come.
But on paper, he was. He just never put the jersey.
I guess technically, yes, you could say that. All right, so let's look into this, and we'll see if we can put this together for the final hour. Bob McKenzie coming up. Are we going to play Level of Concern again? Or?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll do that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.